And our New Testament reading is from Luke, 12th chapter, verses 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he then told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grains and all my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Oh, Heavenly Father, protect me from me and hide me behind the cross. May the words that I speak this morning and thoughts that we together share be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. You know, for some of us, just hearing the word work can make us feel tired, doesn't it? You know, I came across an exercise this past week that I thought was helpful. Now, I don't know if y'all know this, but I am really desperately trying to lose weight. And I will celebrate the fact I've lost 30 pounds. And that's since I've been here, but not because of you. But I came across this exercise that I thought would be helpful. At least it would seem to be helpful for me. And it's called the potato exercise. And it was designed to build muscle strength in the arms and shoulders. It sounds easy, so I thought I'd just pass it on today. The article I read suggested doing it at least 3 times a week, but I found 5 works well for me. Okay, here's how you do it. You start by kind of standing on a comfortable surface, and you got plenty of room on each side. And then get you a 5-pound potato sack and get 2 of them and put one in each hand and extend your arms straight out from your sides. And hold them there as long as you can. If you can reach a full minute, do that. And then kind of relax. And each day that you do this, you'll find that you're able to hold those sacks a little bit longer. And after a couple weeks, they say, okay, get rid of the 5-pound sacks and move up to the 10. And work on the 10-pound sacks until you're able to do that very well. Then you go to the 50-pound potato sacks. And then eventually, as you really get better, you get to the 100-pound potato sacks so that in each hand you hold them out for at least a full minute. And once you're confident at doing it that level, then try to put a potato in each sack. Yeah, I thought you'd get it. You know, today we have gathered to worship our God. And we also have the opportunity, with tomorrow being Labor Day, to think about work and why it is so important in our lives. Why God just didn't give us, as Christians, all the wealth and resources that we needed so that we would be comfortable the rest of our lives. I think a fitting place to begin this is in the book of Genesis, where we find God hard at work creating the universe and everything in it. And God calls it good. The Creator is so pleased with His creation that He wants to share it with all of us. So the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, the Bible tells us. And there he put the man whom he had formed. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden. And why did he do that? And Genesis goes on to tell us to till it and keep it. Now, you know, we can imagine, and I hope you can, all the beautiful images that comes to our mind of this man who God created and named Adam, and the woman named Eve, and they're enjoying the work that God had given to them. I mean, I can easily picture them, can't you? Working in this garden of life, tilling the soil, gently separating the seedlings, getting everything ready. But we don't get very far in our reading, our imagining, before we get the idea that work is now punishment. After Adam and Eve had sinned by eating of that one tree that God forbid, they are kicked out of the garden and told by God, "With labor you shall win your food. You shall gain your bread by the sweat of your brow." Work now has become difficult and painful because of disobedience. Work had been changed from a blessing to a curse. So the question, I think, for us today is, which is it for us? Is work a blessing or is it a curse? And let us now go to the New Testament reading that Marcus read for us. And here we find the words of Jesus. Now someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide that family inheritance with me." Now you got to remember, in that day and time, the inheritance was never a 50-50 split. Never. It was not designed to be that way. The elder brother always got at least 2/3, and the younger, at most, 1/3 of the inheritance. But here we see a younger brother who's demanding, "Give me my fair share." And the other brother saying, "No way. Not going to happen." So the younger brother goes to this rabbi he's heard so much about, and he tells Jesus, "Make him do it." And I love the way Jesus responds. "You trying to make me an arbiter between you and your brother? That's not my job. That's not why I came." But in good rabbinic fashion, Jesus goes on and says, "Let me tell you a story." He begins by talking about this very rich guy, a farmer who has done extremely well for himself. Now, it's important to understand this man has done nothing illegal. He's not a slumlord. He's not a drug dealer. He doesn't cheat his employees. He doesn't mistreat them. He's simply a hard worker, an upstanding citizen who has gained what he has honestly. And his hard work has paid off. His crop is massive. So massive, in fact, that he has no place to store it all. And so he has to think about building bigger barns so he can quit working and relax and eat and drink and be merry, enjoy his labors. And then God says to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you. And the things that you have prepared, whose will they be?" And Jesus concludes this story, this parable, with these words of interpretation. "So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." Rich toward God. That's what we are, I hope. I hope that we are rich toward God, unlike the man who is called a fool. His problem was frankly much bigger than the accumulation of stuff. His stuff had become his treasure. I must admit, this week I had a very theological experience. Karen and I were going through my parents' house, And I made at least 8 trips to Goodwill and probably 15 trips to the dumpster in the back. And after the 14th one, I turned to my wife and I said, you know, in so many ways this is sad, but in so many ways it's a lesson for me, because all these things that Mom and Dad collected and thought were so important and held on to, and I'm throwing them in a dumpster. Now, admittedly, you know, we can see how this can happen. We live in a society that emphasizes getting things, don't we? This will bring you happiness, we're told. You're nobody until you own one of these, and one of these, and one of these. But Christ said to us, take care. Be on your guard against all types of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. The truth is, I think, for those who have a whole lot of possessions, it does something, doesn't it? I don't know that I can relate to going out and building a bigger barn, but I must truthfully admit to you that there have been many times when I wished for a larger closet or a larger garage so I can stash all this stuff that I'm not using, but I can't bear to part with. Now, before we beat ourselves up too much this morning, I want to be clear on one thing. Jesus does not say that this man is damned because he's going to build a bigger barn. Nor does Christ say that it's wrong to have things. That's not what we're talking about here. Jesus calls this man a fool because he has placed that stuff above his soul. He is rich in the things of the earth, but poor in the things that are eternal. True, I think, for too many of us these days. And I think this might be one of the biggest spiritual problems that we have. We work so that we can be rich in the things of the earth, but we stay poor in the things that are eternal. We have more and we tightly hold on to what more we have. And then what do? We want even more, which leaves us with full hands and empty souls. I don't think there's any one of us here this morning that wants to end our lives in that condition. So the challenging question for us this day before Labor Day is this. What can we do to ensure that our work on this earth will be for us a blessing and not a curse? I think a very helpful place to go find answers to this question lies in our Methodist heritage, our Wesleyan tradition. Here we find insights that I think will help expand our understanding of the significant role that work does play in our lives. If we were to pick up John Wesley's sermon that was entitled The Use of Money, we would get this instruction from John. Gain all you can, save all you can, give all you can. The gain all you can and save all you can. I mean, for many of us, those parts are a little bit surprising, aren't they? But not when we consider the third part, give all you can. You see, what John Wesley is talking about for us today is it's all about balance. Maintaining balance in our lives is so important to our well-being, to the well-being of our families and our church and our society and our world. Secondly, whatever work we do, John Wesley says, we must make sure that it does not go against our conscience, that it is in line with God's law. And third, says Wesley, we are to strive for justice in this world and compassion and be generous with others. It reminds me of Dickens' novel. I don't know how many of you see this every year, but it's a DVD that we play. I love this novel. It's a Christmas Carol by Dickens. And I love the part where Scrooge goes to Marley and says, well, you always were a good businessman. And Jacob Marley replies, mankind was my business. You know, what a different world. Just imagine what a different world we would have if we followed these guidelines and if everyone in the world did. The words that John Wesley has spoken are in perfect alignment with the commandment that Christ has given us. And so as God rested from his creative work and he contemplated and saw that it was good, it was also time, and we need time, to also rest and contemplate. And I think that's what Labor Day should be intended to be. And that's what our Sabbath should be. God has placed within our hearts, God created us with this desire to work, and God has given us work to do. You know, I know it seems funny, but I am so grateful that I am not the son of a multi-million billionaire. Yeah, it's fun to dream about it. Yeah, at times I thought about it. I may not be the only one in here who thought about what if I won the lottery, although now I can't play it, and that's fine. It appears, though, that those that we hear about in the news that have more money than they know what to do with, I don't know that they're happy with it. It appears for many of them that there are issues in their lives. The good news for us today that in and through Jesus Christ, work is no longer a curse. Work has become a blessing for us. Christ, through his suffering and death on the cross, has removed that curse once and for all. Work has been restored to us as a creative activity in partnership with God. And that requires each of us to spend some time each day listening to our heart and to the voice of God within. Never forget this. Whatever work we do in life, and God does not put one above another. Whatever we do in life, whatever work we have, may we do it intentionally, giving thanks to God, and let it be for his blessing. Being grateful in all circumstances, whether I wash dishes or clean clothes, whether I weed or I take multiple loads out to the dumpster. You know, there's a message that comes around every now and then in my email. And every now and then I open it up again and I read it, and it's always an eye-opener for me. I'd like to share that with you this morning. If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, be grateful. Millions will not survive the week. If you have never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, be grateful. Over 20 million people around the world are currently experiencing this. If you attend a church meeting like we are this morning without fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death, be grateful. Almost 3 billion people in the world do not have this freedom. If you have food in the refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, a place to sleep, money in the bank, money in your wallet, or even some spare change in a dish somewhere in the house, you are among the top 8% of the wealthy of this world. Be grateful. If you can hold someone's hand, if you can hug them or even touch them on the shoulder, thank God, because you're able to offer God's healing touch. If you hold up your head with a smile on your face, praise God. If you have a reason to get out of bed in the mornings, if you have any type of work to do, it is a blessing. All you people of the land, says the Lord, work, for I am with you. Thanks be to God. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for creating us in the manner that which you did. And help us understand, Father, that work is a blessing that you have given to us and that we are in creation with you each and every day. Bless what we do so that it be to your kingdom. In thy Son's name we pray. Amen.